Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we're here with you every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're a news, talk, and entertainment show. And we like to think we know what we're talking about and that we go places other, well, we happen to know we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. If you're watching Phil TV in HD, you have a backstage pass to our website, philhendryshow.com, which enables you to take a look at our show, to look at me, which is a mixed blessing in that it's not the most pleasant sight, but some of the stuff I do is pretty weird. And you can see it. Now, what you're looking at right now is something that wasn't all that, it didn't take a whole lot of talent for me to bring this up on the screen. This is simply an internet page that describes the states that are playing Powerball.
Yeah, this is huge. See right there, right there.
I can see it. Why is he doing that?
Bud, don't stick your finger right in front of Margaret. This is the Powerball. What are you all excited about, Bud?
What? Are you kidding me? Oh, man, get a load of him. You love Santa's $425 million.
What?
$425 million.
425. Count it. Read it and weep. $425 million, Margaret, in the Powerball jackpot.
Oh, my God. You know what I find? I think that's sad. And I'll tell you why I think it's sad. Someone is going to win that. And there is every likelihood that they're not going to know really how to use that money.
What? Yeah, but why would you say that?
Because I know the human species, and I know you give a human being $425 million that he hasn't worked for. All he did was buy a ticket. And I guarantee you that person's going to be broke in very short order.
Well, that's the common view of that a lot of people have. But, you know, I really don't know. I don't know. I mean, there have been millionaires, and there have been millionaires, and there have been millionaires that have been created from these different state lotteries and Powerball and mega riches and mega millions and all this jazz. And there have been people that have won some big jackpots. And it seems to me you never hear from them again.
Well, no, they do reports on them.
Yeah, I've been a lot of times the TV stations say, here's a guy that won a millionaire. You know, he won last year. Let's see what he's doing. Yeah, and what do you think it shows? It shows the guys like on Skid Row or something like that.
No, it does not.
Not always, Bud. It's not gonna, the guys on Skid Row. But it's, you know, I don't see those stories, what you're talking about. Saying every time there's a...
Oh, they always have some story. Here is so-and-so, and he won this much money.
I rarely see that. Every now and again, they'll do a feature on that. But I wish that there was a way of following up a little bit more. Not that we want to do anything about it. You know, I'm not going to say, oh, you're not spending your money wisely. We're going to take it back, you know. But I would like to just, like, have the right to just walk into their house or something.
What? You're out of your mind.
Of course I'm kidding, but I'd like to be able to. Now, the state law says you won $500 million. Yes, okay, we have the right to walk in and see the crap that you bought.
That would be very interesting.
Yeah, I bet you most people buying crap. You're absolutely right.
I don't know. I don't know. Some people, if they're smart, I saw one of the recent Powerball, whatever the hell it was an enormous jackpot. And one of the individuals kept very quiet. He didn't want to be identified. He had his attorney deal with everything. He this and that, and he contacted the this and the that and the who, and he was very beautiful about it. And I really admired, I don't know who the guy, to this day, I don't know who the guy was. I know he was in the state of Maryland because it was the most, I think it was last year they had some huge, I think it was a Powerball jackpot. It was enormous. And remember, there was some controversy about some woman that there's always one person who bought a ticket that she said was for her, but the other one's for the other five people.
Yeah, that is cheap. Everybody always trying to get away with something like that.
Yeah, but you don't know. Maybe they're telling the truth.
Yeah, right. Every single Powerball, every time they have a Powerball, there's somebody saying, oh yeah, I didn't,
Well, you're saying they're lying.
I'm saying they're lying, yeah.
Well, that's great. So they're lying, huh?
Well, yeah, I got to go with Robert on this, man. I mean, all of a sudden, hey, hello, I just bought a Powerball. Oh, I'm sorry. This isn't the one that I bought for you five. This is the one I bought for myself.
What?
So I don't know how they generally a lawsuit is filed. And the judge, I think, probably in cases like if I were the judge, I'd say split it. All five of you, just split it. Just don't be a greedy so-and-so, okay?
But, Your Honor, I split it, okay? Well, that's not fair.
Well, you know what? I got no way of knowing, man. You got two tickets. A bunch of people are pissed off here. You're too stupid
to buy a ticket and to say to them, see this one here, this is my yin, right?
Well, go, didn't do that.
What?
You know, this one, my yin.
No, you idiot.
He's exaggerating, Rob.
I'm just talking about, I would make it very clear. Yeah, that's right. This one's my yin.
Yeah, you're going to look like you're a retard.
Would you knock it off with a retard? I'm saying, Robert, if you buy a ticket, you make it clear to everybody. If you don't make it clear, don't give me this bull crap. They always got some story, oh, I left it in my other pants, you know, like the old joke about the, well.
About the what?
Condom.
You are vulgar.
In any event,
You left the condom in your other pants? I don't get it.
Would you, never mind. So, yeah, so that's always a big fight. So right now, this thing has $425 million in it. And here's a story from Fox News. Powerball, a good investment? Probably not, yet millions buy tickets. It's true to say that you have a better chance of being struck by lightning than winning the Powerball, but that woefully understates... It woefully understates your chances. A good bet, someone will win. It's the gambler's mantra. Somebody's got to win, so why not me? The first part is true. Somebody will win the Powerball jackpot. Chuck Strutt, executive director of the Multi-State Lottery Association, predicts there's about a 60% chance it'll happen Wednesday. Maybe better if there's a flurry of last-minute ticket purchasers picking unique numbers. The jackpot already has defied long odds by rolling over 16 consecutive times without anyone hitting the big prize, which now stands at $425 million. The cash value is $278 million.
What's that mean?
I think that means the taxes taken out.
Now, you don't take it over time.
I don't hear. Nobody ever wants it over the 20 years. You ever heard of anybody wanting it over the 20 years? I've never heard of anybody wanting it over the I wouldn't want it over the 20 years. I want to state, Mr. Henry, would you like... No, I want it now. I want it now. Well, I mean, sir. No, don't give me the sir. Give it all to me now, okay? Well, why is that? Because I don't trust you guys are going to have it in 20 years, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know what it'll be worth in 20 years. I want it now. And if I could, I'd like it all in gold bars. Yes, sir.
Oh, that... Oh, I'm sure they're not going to do that.
I know they're not going to do that, but I would... At least I would make the request. The jackpot already has defied long odds. As the drought increases, so too will the chances of it ending on the next draw because ticket sales spike with a growing jackpot. Someone will win eventually. It's a bad bet. It'll be you. It's true to say that you have a better chance of being struck by lightning than winning the Powerball, but that woefully understates the danger of lightning. Tim Norfolk, a University of Akron mathematics professor who teaches a course on gambling, puts the odds of a lightning strike in a person's lifetime at 1 in 5,000 or 1 in 9,000,000 on one particular day.
What's that mean?
It means in your lifetime, there's a 1 in 5,000 chance that you'll be hit by lightning on any given day. If you were to say, well, what about just today? What if my life lasted for just 24 hours?
No, it'd just be like 1 in what?
1 in 9,000,000.
That's not bad.
That's not bad if you're only planning on living one day.
Do you understand what he's saying? It's just one day.
What do you mean one day?
Are you listening to me, man? I'm saying if you only lived one... Never mind. One day, 1 in 9,000,000. The odds of winning the Powerball jackpot, 1 in 175,000,000 with no assurances that you won't have to split the prize with others. What were we just talking about? While weather is the go-to analogy for such astronomical odds, Norfolk suggests there are better ones. For example, you'd have a slightly better chance of randomly picking the name of one specific female in the United States, 1 in 157 million, according to the latest census. What the hell does that mean? Should you win the jackpot, there's a good chance you'll have to share, and not just with family, friends, and Uncle Sam. The odds of someone winning increases as the ticket sales do. So, too, do the odds of duplicate tickets, especially for people who choose their own numbers rather than letting the computer pick. I wonder if it's better to let the computer pick.
Then nobody's going to trust it, Danny. You let the computer pick, they don't think it's fixed.
Yeah, people are very paranoid. They're going to say, oh, if you let the computer pick it, I know it's going to pick numbers that I don't want.
In other words, if the computer spits out numbers that, So anyway, the jackpot, $425 million. Margaret Gray is in studio with us, and we're going to talk to you, Margaret, in a moment here about, you were on some Occupy Toronto website.
Oh, just for fun. I was over there. I was giving somebody a hard time, and I saw an awful lot of pro-Palestinian propaganda there. Now, I am very pro-Palestinian, but I saw too much. And it occurred to me that Canadians, God bless them, because I think the Canadian people are wonderful people, but they're virulently anti-Semitic. They just hate Jews in Canada. I don't know what it is.
They hate Jews in Canada.
Yes, I don't know what it is. I think it's because of the long-standing, very, very Aryan tradition they have up there. I don't know what it was, but I got into it with a few people, and so you wanted to talk to me about that?
Well, I'm going to ask some questions about that, yeah. We're also going to have Dr. Jim Sadler on to talk about the odds of winning a Powerball here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and others as we progress on this Monday, the day after the four-day Thanksgiving thing, man, but the holiday season, it just has began. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
If you're looking at Phil TV again, not to keep drawing attention to Phil TV in HD, but we just wanted to mention that what you're looking at there is an actual current map of the Powerball states. We had an outdated map that did not show some of the states that have since joined the Powerball party, if you will. You can see New York is a part of it.
That's bitching what you're doing right there.
Yeah, I'm just doing a little blend in there. It's a little fade in.
Oh, that's nice. That's sort of a little television effect, huh?
Yeah. I'm just, hi. Anyway, so you'll see that New York is one of the states, New Jersey, and these are states that have recently come on board. You'll see of the contiguous, contiguous.
Now, what's that mean?
The contiguous? That means the states that are all together. We've got two states that are not contiguous. Which ones are those, bud?
They're not what?
That are not contiguous.
That are not contiguous?
Right. You know what that means?
Yeah, I know. It means like it's a contiguously bad block or something like that. Something's contiguous.
That's continuous. Contiguous.
Do you know what contiguous means?
Of the states?
Never mind. There's two. Do you know, Robert?
Virgin Islands is one.
Oh, is that right? Virgin Islands is one?
Yeah, and Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Boy, you guys. Woo! Man.
What?
Virgin Islands is one.
Oh, state.
Yes.
So, Virgin Islands is, oh, no, it isn't.
No, it's not. Virgin Islands is not a state. There's two states that are not contiguous, Alaska and Hawaii. The rest of them are, and there they are, man. And here, when you're looking at this, there's only one, two, three, four, five, six states that are not a part of this Powerball thing. Why not, huh? How come California, Nevada, is that Utah? Or what the hell is that, man?
That's Idaho.
That ain't Idaho. That's Utah. It's California. Yeah, it's Utah. It's California, Nevada, Utah, Wyoming. And I only know that that's Wyoming because I drove through Wyoming on my way into Nebraska. There was a whole lot of weird. I had to drive from Portland once to Chicago, and I saw a whole lot of that part of America. It's Interstate 80. You know these interstates, they all have their own character, you know. Interstate 10 and Interstate 20, I got to know over the years in my younger years because I was constantly doing this cross-country thing between the South and California. And the main interstate to the south, southeast from California is 10, is the 10. And then that splits into either the 20 or the 10, depending upon whether you want to go north to Atlanta or you want to go...
north to Alaska.
What's that? Are you trying to be funny?
Yeah, north to Alaska.
Oh, I know that song. Do you remember that song, Phil?
I'm talking about something.
No, but north to Alaska, the rush is on.
Yeah, that's the one.
Well, what are you looking at me like I'm the freak? He's the one that started singing it.
North to Alaska. North to Atlanta is what I'm talking about. North to Atlanta. What was that you just sang?
You don't know the song. Wonderful song by Johnny Horton. North to Alaska, do-do-do, something, I don't know.
Yeah, and there goes an 1814, took a little trip.
Yes, yes. And along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi.
That's not north to Alaska.
Yes, it was a Johnny Horton.
It was Johnny Horton that ain't north to Alaska.
What are you talking about? In north to Alaska in 1814.
Shut up. That one is,
Yeah, go ahead. Try and think about it, Phil. Come up with a good answer. That's north to Alaska.
No, it isn't. It's called the Battle of New Orleans or something.
Yeah, right. That sounds like a real original name.
When did you come up with that one, Phil? Just now, or did you write it down on a shirt sleeve or something? My God.
Margaret, are you that stupid? What do you mean in 1814 Colonel Jackson took a trip to Alaska? He went down to New Orleans, to use your way of saying things.
You called me stupid.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Woo! Mm-mm. Boy's got some guts there.
I'd say he does.
All right, excuse me, if you don't mind, Mrs. Jefferson, but I have got...
Oh, Mrs. Jefferson.
I'm telling you that this... Forget it. All right. So good luck to whoever the Powerball people are. I know it ain't me. That's for damn sure. And one of the reasons I never buy a Powerball ticket is because I won't win. And why do I know I won't win? Because I've never won anything in my life. I've never won anything in my life.
You're absolutely sure?
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. I think I've won, like a raffle? No, never, never. Everything I've ever gotten of any value, I've had to pay for it. I've had to, I always pay for it. I never, All right, and when I say pay for it, man, I mean pay for it in ways I don't even want to tell you. All right, so Dr. Jim Sadler joining us from San Diego this evening, and he is at the, this is a diviners conference?
Hi, Phil.
How are you doing?
Great.
What is a divining or divining conference?
It's an interesting offshoot of the paranormal world. People believe that you can divine water.
Dr. Sadler, it's Margaret Gray.
Yes.
The way you said that was very. It said water. Are you from back east?
Yes, I am. Originally from Brooklyn, New York. Yes. Is that it?
Yes, that's all.
Because I get a little insecure. The very first thing someone asks me is the way I talk.
No, I understand that. So this is people that believe that you can divine water?
Yeah, it's like a divining rod. And it goes back to biblical times.
Hold on, but let's just get this out. But Dr. Sadler suffered an injury to his tongue. He was... You worked in a circus, right?
That is correct, yes. And I worked with big cats in much the same way that Siegfried and Roy do.
That way... Well, I just heard what you said.
Yes, I have a difficult time. I had an accident with one of our big cats. It was a... Siberian tiger.
And what it was your mouth, right?
That is correct. I'd rather not say what.
I know what happened.
Well, who's that? Is that Robert?
Yes, doctor. I won't say nothing.
Well, what happened?
Well, during the break, okay?
Oh, great. So I'm going to come back to, three people laughing?
Well, Dr. Sadler, we got to let people, I can assure you, we'll be sensitive, okay?
All right. Well, in any event, yes, I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
All right, I wanted to ask you, let's get into this Powerball, because there's a lot of people that got their hopes riding on winning this jackpot.
I know, and we've presented papers, we have introduced legislation through Jim Carnegie, who is the state senator here in San Diego, that whoever is the beneficiary of these winnings... that these individuals for the betterment of society, for the protection of our children, for the protection of really the moral order and the moral core of our society, that we not make a spectacle of the winners of these Powerball jackpots, that we not put their faces on the front page, that we not talk about the fact that they won, that we not make them into instant media stars. The danger is to those of us who work very hard for the money that we have, and we open up a newspaper and we see someone who was, and I have nothing against this, Phil, but someone who was picking radishes maybe yesterday, or picking leafy green tomatoes, and today they are a half a billion dollars richer.
All right, we'll be back with Dr. Jim Sadler to talk more about the downside of winning the Powerball. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'm not Phil doing the vacuum Hendry. Cleaner. The vacuum cleaner is the booth over.
And welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Jim Sadler with us at one of the many paranormal expos. Shouldn't call it a paranormal expo, should I, Doc? Or,
one of the expos. It's a meet convention at product sales for psychology, parapsychology, as well as metaphysics, their books. I would say, Phil, that the divining rods, these kinds of things, are more of a novelty, you know.
All right, so I was telling this story. You don't mind me telling the story? Because I don't know how we got off on this thing. We were talking about selling, salesmen, you know, and being able to pitch, because I heard you talking to somebody there.
Right, well, there's a man next to me. Hi. And he is selling. The booth that we have here is the paranormal booth and the psychology booth. We have my book, which is my journey, which I had named it My Struggle, and they had said to me, and you probably noticed, Phil, that Hitler's book was called My Struggle. I said, well, it was Mein Kampf, and they said, yeah, but... So I called my book is My Journey.
You were going to call it My Struggle?
I was going to call it My Struggle, and they said to me that in Germany, in the European market, my book was going to be Mein Kampf, and they most likely would not be able to get it on the bookshelves in Germany because it's against the law.
And you didn't know that, huh?
No, I don't speak German.
No, I understand. That's a good. So your book is My Journey, and it describes your
my studying to involve myself not only in psychology but also in paranormal psychology. And but I had a man next to me here. What is your name, by the way?
Steve Seal.
You're Steve Seal?
Uh-huh.
This man is selling, what are you selling? Floor sweepers? So I had a lady come up to me.
All right. Well, I when you said that to me, It reminded me of something I was sharing with Dan, and I'll share with my audience, because Dan and I started talking about salespeople, you know.
Yeah, hold on a minute, Phil. What? That's the guy right here, floor sweeper.
That's where it is, though.
No, I don't have floor sweepers here. I'm sorry, Phil. I'm not selling floor sweepers. I'm a psychologist.
Oh, yeah, okay. Set them over here, Doc.
That's what I did. See, what's happening, Phil, is where they set us up. This is a convention that's for paranormal and for ghost stuff, okay? And I don't know what happened, but they were not able to sell all the booths, so they started selling the booths off to some of these guys. This guy's got a floor sweeper. There's a guy over here. He's selling mouse traps. You ready for that? He's selling decon rat poison? He's selling decon, so they got a guy selling decon rat poison.
Wait a minute. I thought you said that this was...
I know what I said. I know what I said, but that's not what's going on.
All right. When you were talking about selling, I was telling Dan... You know what? All of a sudden, the story doesn't seem to be all that...
I would rather we move on, because I am not the floor sweeper. I know it's right here.
I hear the floor sweepers here are fantastic.
Yeah, well, there you go. You go ahead. Jesus, I got to tell you, Phil, I am really, really disappointed. I'm really, really disappointed in the individuals that set this up, because I'm here simply trying to...
No, I understand, Doctor. You know, let's just talk about Powerball and talk about your theories having to do with Powerball, having to do with the expectations it sets up.
Right. Well, I feel that the worst thing about Powerball among the many things that are bad about Powerball is that you have individuals that have never been into money in their lives, and suddenly they are into money after winning a very large jackpot. For anyone that has worked for his money, has come into his money by way of hard work, such as myself. I didn't think I'd be in the psychology game. I thought that I would be in entertainments, working with big cats, working with animals my entire life. I loved it. I wanted to do that. But when Theodore, which was the name of this big Siberian I was working with, when Theodore took off after me, that was the end of that, you know, so I knew that I wasn't going to do that no more. And
why couldn't you?
Well, I mean, when you don't trust the animal, and there was a level of trust in the animal act that we did, which I don't want to get into it.
Why not?
Who said that?
Well, that was Robert. Robert, let me, he's asking why not.
Yeah, I don't mind Mr. Hendry asking. I hear this distant voice say, why not? Who was that?
That's Robert.
No, I'm sorry, doctor, I just want, why not?
When you develop a unique animal act, a large cat act, like the one what I had developed with Theodore.
Who's Theodore?
That's the name of the tiger. Jesus.
It's the tiger that Dr. Sadler was working with.
You said he was a psychologist and everything.
That's why I'm confused.
He's a psychologist now. He was working in the circus.
Well, I rather say that I worked with big cats. I don't like saying I was working in this circus, because it sounds like most people will say, oh, were you one of the clowns that came out of the cars? And no, I wasn't, although I have to tell you, I felt like it after a few weeks, because, you know, what are you going to do when you've got half of your tongue missing?
What happened to your tongue?
Phil?
He had a very unique aspect to his act where he would kiss, should I say?
Yeah.
Tongue kiss the tiger.
Tongue kiss the tiger? The tiger going to take your tongue away?
Well, that's exactly what happened.
But that's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
Thanks a lot. So I don't have half of my tongue, and I'm an idiot.
Well, Dr. Sadler, you must know that where people are going to talk, and consider what you did to be a little bit brain dead.
Well, believe me, I've beaten myself up about it over the years. I've beaten myself not only because of what Theodore did to me, but what I ultimately had to do to Theodore. I had no choice. I carried a service revolver. It's not unlike a police revolver that you would use from time to time in the theatrics of an animal act, but mine was loaded. I had 38 caliber ammunition in this service revolver, and when Theodore bit half of my tongue off, I instinctively pulled the weapon and I emptied it into the cat. And
do you feel that was necessary?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I feel bad about it, but I would do it all over again in a heartbeat.
You do everything the same, huh?
I would do everything the same.
You. So what do you feel bad about?
I feel bad that I'm missing half of my tongue, and that Theodore, other than that, was a pretty good cat. That's what I feel bad about. But
don't you feel guilty? I mean, did the animal have to die?
Yeah, boy, that's a great question, and it's a good question, but it's also a stupid question. I'm sorry for saying that, ma'am.
Well, I don't think it's a stupid question.
But I'm sorry for saying that, but it really is. Do I feel the animal had to die? Yes, he had to die, because I put my tongue...
You know, Dr. Sam, I gotta say, how intelligent of an animal training act is that? You're going to put your tongue kiss a Siberian tiger?
Or any kind of a tiger for that matter.
Are you Italian?
No.
Because you went any kind of a tiger for that matter.
Dr. Sadler, it's a good question. What kind of, you know, what's going through your mind there?
What's going through my mind when?
When you came up with the idea of French kissing a Siberian tiger.
I thought it would be interesting for the old ladies in the crowd, okay? I mean, there were a million things going on in that circus at the time.
All right, I'm sorry.
No. You brought it up. I'm going to just, you wanted, you paid your money. Let's take this ride all the way to the end, okay? You wanted the jungle cruise? We haven't hit the hippos yet, all right? You want to get on the Matterhorn? Great. The girl hasn't thrown up in the car in front of us yet. We're going all the way to the end. We're taking this ride all the way to the point where the thing goes straight down. And the guy in the seat in front of you, it's just a wave of vomit. Okay? You want it? You got it.
Boy, oh boy. I'm just trying to find out what it is that...
I'm going to tell you. I was in a circus. We had some of the greatest animal trainers. We had Bill Keslow. We had Junior Aberdeen. We had Robert Morey. We had some of the greatest lion tamers what had ever been. And I'm standing there with this Bengal tiger. I don't know what to do. What am I going to do? Make it roll over? I thought at once I wanted it to stand up and walk around and serve coffee. You know, I had an idea that it would have trays on its paw. It didn't want to do it. And I worked with Theodore for months trying to get him to carry the tray in and put the coffee down.
How is a tiger going to stand up on its hind legs?
Well, you can do it, you know, but it takes I had a bullwhip and a gun, and Theodore, I don't know what his problem was.
I don't think any animal's going to like a bullwhip and a gun.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. PETA.
No. It's not PETA.
Oh, yes, it is.
No, it's not PETA. It's just what animal are you going to... What are you doing to an animal with a bullwhip and a gun?
I'll tell you what you're doing. You're teaching it how to serve coffee. That's what you're doing. If you want to make that one of your big quotes, because I see that on your Facebook page, go ahead. Dr. Sadler said, what do you teach an animal with a bullwhip and a gun? You teach it to serve coffee. That's what you do.
Get in there. You teach it how to use a bullwhip and a gun.
Hey, all right, man.
Yeah, give me five. Yeah.
Get out of here. Give me five, okay?
Well, I agree. I think that teaching an animal to serve coffee, I'm sorry, were I the tiger, I would have mauled your face off.
Well, oh, really? Well, you were very... All right, so I would be horribly disfigured, and you'd have six shots. You'd be so dead. Oh, you'd be dead, dead, dead. Okay?
Well, all right. I don't know. I've never done your job. I don't want to judge you. The guys wanted to know why you lost half of your tongue. You were French kissing a Siberian tiger. Okay.
Well, you say that like you're waiting for the laughs, okay? It was not about laughs.
Well, what was it about? I mean, when you say you French kiss a Siberian tiger...
What it was about, Mr. Henry, was presenting to the people... Especially these old ladies that would come in at 2 o'clock because they got the senior discount, and they said to me, Sadler, you're on. The old ladies are here. It's yours. They gave me, because I was new, and I was the young guy, and I didn't have the pull of a guy like Junior Aberdeen or Robert Morey. These are the two of the biggest lion tamers and tiger tamers, and they tame, you know, we used to say they tame anything, man. They could tame a fat lady at Winchell's. You know, they could tame a fat lady at Winchell's to start a cardiovascular aerobics class. Now then.
Yeah.
Well.
All right. Margaret, let's take a break, okay?
Well, you don't have to ask me to do that.
No, I was going to...
What do you want?
Nothing.
Excuse me. Hold on, Phil. I'm not doing floor sweepers. Do I look like a floor sweeper guy? Well, frankly, yeah. Oh, really? I'm a doctor psychologist.
All right, we're going to take a break, Doc.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Here with my special guest, Dr. Jim Sadler in San Diego. The Powerball jackpot is this year, this particular drawing, Dr. Sadler, $425 million. It's enormous. And it is your contention in some of the papers that you've written on the subject that putting that much money into the hands of someone that's not used to having that much money creates resentment among people who, not just people who worked for the money they have, but wealthy people.
And I think that we...
So to be clear, wealthy people, as in people that might be used to having $425 million?
Well, I don't know how many people are used to having $425 million. You're talking about a percentage of the so-called 1%. That's a very... even a little smaller slice of the 1%. But what you are talking about are people who are used to having millions, let's say, perhaps something as in the neighborhood of $100 to $200 million. They're very wealthy people, anyone that has that kind of money. I dare say that anyone with $20 or $25 million is a very wealthy individual. But I hasten to add that when they open up their newspaper and they see that someone who is not in their income bracket, someone who literally, in their mind, lucked into it by stopping off at places such as, and what I think makes it tougher is when they buy the ticket at a liquor store. That reinforces the stereotype that we've been working very hard to get rid of, Phil.
What is the stereotype? That they're somehow ne'er-do-wells?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think that they're somehow, I won the Powerball, I bought my ticket at a liquor store, and that reinforces in the mind of the individual that worked for the money he has. Look at this, you know, we're giving money away to alcoholics.
But that's not true.
No, it's not true. It's not true. You're right.
I mean, people are going into liquor stores to buy all kinds of things, not just booze, cigarettes, or they're going in to buy, for instance, a Powerball ticket.
Well, but beyond buying the Powerball ticket or cigarettes, what do you buy in a liquor store?
You get chewing gum. You get, I've gone into liquor stores to pick up gum.
You pick up gum. Well, I mean, okay, fine. If you want me to believe that.
That's absolutely true. I mean, if sometimes it's the most convenient place. You know, you're looking for these stores that you can get out of the car, you can walk into, bop in, and get something real fast. You don't want to go into the supermarket because you're in line behind 9 million people. Sometimes if you're looking for a pharmacy or a place like that that might sell those little, things, those are in shopping malls. But liquor stores oftentimes tend to be right there on the street.
Well, and there you go. There's part of the prejudice right there. Because a man with money, a man of means, sees some guy go into a liquor store and the very words resonate very negatively. And that guy walks out with $425 million, and here's a guy that works really hard for a living, and some guy, in his mind, he's not a bum, but it's almost like he is a bum. Because he's going to say to his wife, some bum,
Some bum what?
Some bum won the Powerball.
Because he bought the ticket in a liquor store.
Because he bought the ticket in a liquor store, because he's some bum that never, not some bum, but I mean, this is in his mind, never worked for it. And you have a situation that's set up by the person that bought the ticket, which exacerbates the tension between the classes.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let's go to Henry. Henry, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Dr. Jim Sadler.
Dr. Sadler, you said that a man that buys a Powerball ticket in a liquor store is perceived as a bum and by individuals with money.
Yes, sir.
Well, I can say to you that I have earned my money, and I don't have $100 million. I don't even have $50 million or $20 million, but I've got a portfolio that's worth about $5, $10 million, and I feel very fortunate and comfortable. If I see somebody...
Does this story have an ending?
I'm sorry? You know, I've been sitting listening to you, sir, and all I hear you say is that anyone who has money is going to resent these individuals. Well, I don't resent them at all. What I do resent is you speaking for me and not very well. Not very well because I had my tongue bitten in half by a tiger. You said it, I didn't. You said it, I didn't.
All right, well, you could say it better than me.
What? Yeah, see, you're not speaking very well for me. I don't mean to make fun of your injury, but you are not speaking for me, and were you speaking for me, you would not be speaking very well for me because of the injury.
Well, are you saying that I can't be a spokesperson for people?
And you're not a spokesperson for me. I have money, and I don't resent a man for winning at Powerball, even if he is a man that bought his ticket in a liquor store. And for you to infer that anyone buying their ticket in a liquor store somehow represents a class of individual resented by people with money, I can tell you that I don't resent anybody with money. I think that people or resent people that don't have money. All right?
All right. And what about your crack about, me not speaking to you? See, here's my point. I'm here advocating on your behalf to say that people that don't have jobs and people who buy their tickets in a liquor store look like a slob and a bum to people that do not do that, like yourself. I'm working very hard to advocate on your behalf, and you call up, and the first thing you're saying to me is, listen to the funny man with the funny way he talk. You know, and...
I don't think I'm hearing that, Dr. Sadler.
I am not. I didn't say that at all. You're the one that brought up the fact that you tried to French kiss a Siberian tiger. I didn't. Let the record show you brought that up. I didn't. Well, how are you going to bring it up? You didn't know. That's true. I didn't know, and I wouldn't. And when I did find out, I didn't bring it up. All right. So, that one's on you, not on me. But once I did find out, and I heard what you were saying, I was saying you don't speak very well for me for two reasons. You don't have my opinion, and you got your tongue sawed off by a sawed in half or something by some jungle cat.
Right. What's your problem with that? See.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much, Dr. Sadler. We got to take a break.
Okay.
And thank you, sir. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I had a couple of other points I wanted to make relative to...
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back. You're the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I decided to just dial up the Powerball page here. I mean, I've never played Powerball, and I don't know a thing about Powerball, and I would not know a thing about Powerball.
An estimated
on the 24th of November, it was $327 million. And on YouTube, you can actually go and watch the drawing, and they have an affable young guy here. They're showing some family, Joseph and Sally Aubin of El Paso, Texas, and I don't know what they did, but they got their name and their faces here on the Powerball drawing. But they have a guy wearing what looks like a modestly ill-fitting suit, showing far too much of his crotch.
What kind of a statement is that?
I'm just joking. But anyway, they had a young guy there. I say young guy. He looks like he's in his late 20s. He's very excited. And here are the numbers. 22, 32, 37, 44. Don't be listening to me, folks. I'm not drawing the numbers here, but I'm telling you. In fact, let me get off of this page. These were the numbers that were drawn on Saturday night, okay?
Who cares?
Well, I think it's significant. This is just the winning numbers. Because when you look at these winning numbers and you ask yourself and you realize nobody, and I mean nobody, had these numbers. So that means that people are not thinking in a certain way. And what way should they have been thinking? Well, they should have been thinking this way. Here it is. 22, 32, 37, 44, 50, 34.
Well, there's no logical...
Yeah, it doesn't mean nothing.
Well, why should it mean something? That's the whole reason why people don't win these things. They, I'll pick my birthday or something, you know.
Yeah, a lot of times somebody picked a birthday to win.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it does. Maybe it does. I don't know, you know. Sometimes I'll ask people, why'd you pick those numbers? I don't know. I just picked them, you know.
No, I hear a lot of people will say, they'll say, why did you pick the numbers? And they'll say, because it's my daughter's birthday.
Yeah, I hear that too. My daughter's birthday and the year that I was born, too.
Something like that, you know.
Well, no, I don't know. No, I don't know. And even if it's their daughter's birthday, I think you got a better chance just grabbing some random numbers, man. I mean, I can look at these numbers here. 22, 32, aha, it goes up by a multiple of 10. 22 to 37, aha, multiple of 5. 7 to 37 to 44, that's a multiple of 7, you know.
Yeah, that means something.
No, it doesn't mean anything. That's what I'm trying to tell you, man. People read too much into this crap. It doesn't mean a damn thing.
You just said, man, up by 10, up by 5. What's half of a 10?
5.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then it goes up by 10 and then up by 5. What's half of 5? 10.
No, man, what's half of 10 is 5.
Half of 10 is 5.
Yeah, then it goes up by 7. What's 10 minus 3?
Oh, get out of here.
Well?
What? That doesn't mean anything.
What's 10 minus 3?
This is what I'm saying. You know what, Bud? You have just encapsulated for us the whole problem with this country. Everybody's reading things into things, and there's nothing to read anything into.
Connect the dots.
That's the one I love. That and don't drink the Kool-Aid, man. Two of the dumbest things that have ever been articulated in the last, God, probably 500 years. Connect the dots, which basically means find a conspiracy, even if one doesn't exist, and don't drink the Kool-Aid, which means I'm right and you're wrong. That's, you know.
So why do you call that dumb?
Those are two really elaborate phrases that simply represent dumb. You know, you could just simply say to somebody, be stupid like me and think there's a conspiracy, or be stupid like me and agree with me and not agree with you, and see what I mean?
Yeah, it would sound better if you say to drink a Kool-Aid.
Well, first of all, it may not be a big deal to most people, but they didn't drink Kool-Aid at Jonestown. They drank Flavor-Aid. Thank you.
No, that's bull.
No, it is not bull, because I read Raven. I read the book, okay?
What's Raven?
That's the book about Jim Jones.
They drank... What did you say they drank?
Flavor-Aid.
No, they didn't. They drank... Why do they say don't drink the Kool-Aid?
Because they got it wrong, like everything else. Flavor-Aid is what they drank. Flavor-Aid. And you know what? Flavor-Aid is probably thankful beyond all get-out that... Or maybe they are not...
I would have bought it... If I'd have known it was Flavor-Aid, I would have bought it that.
Yeah, I'd have bought it too.
Bought it?
Well, I think it would have been good for Flavor-Aid, yes.
Well, it wasn't good for Flavor-Aid, because Flavor-Aid, whatever Flavor-Aid is, I don't even know if they make Flavor-Aid anymore. They sure as hell didn't promote the fact that it was Flavor-Aid. Probably if they had, people would be drinking Flavor-Aid, don't you think?
No, because then I don't want to be a poison.
Oh, get out of here, will you, man? We're talking about Jonestown. What I'm saying is there is a branding issue here. Like they say nowadays, everything's a brand, right? Okay?
Yes.
All right. So if it's all about brands, who gives a damn how people get to know the brand? And Flavor-Aid, it's like that thing that happened with E.T. I don't know what the hell it was.
But I'm talking about M&M's.
M&M's, there you go. M&M's would not give permission to the producers of E.T. to use M&M's in the film. And so instead they used Reese's Pieces, and it is said that that's what, it's one of the factors that got Reese's Pieces kick-started and one of the big sellers in the candy marketplace. I don't know if that's true or not. I dare say that not being in E.T. didn't hurt M&M's one bit, didn't slow them down one bit. You know, M&M's kicks ass today, and I don't know, but I gotta believe they outsell Reese's Pieces.
Well, no, wait a minute. Why do you say that? If Reese's Pieces was in E.T., I think you're missing a big part of the puzzle. That's one of the biggest movies ever made.
Yeah, a lot of people seen it.
I don't give a damn if a lot of people saw it. I don't see Reese's Pieces everywhere you turn. It's all about M&M's.
Yeah, but I mean, that in your world, man.
What do you mean in my world? What is that supposed to mean?
In a world you live in, but in another, in my world, man.
Yeah, in my world, it's Reese's Pieces.
What do you mean, your world? What are you talking about?
I'm just talking about the people I know, my people. I know that my people, they don't go near M&M.
Yeah, my people are...
Your people? What am I, all of a sudden with Cochise here, man, and we're riding in off the reservation and meeting a cavalry? What do you mean, your people?
We're simply saying, Phil, our tribes. And I know that my tribe is a Reese's, and I know it sounds ridiculous.
It sure does, especially coming out of all three of you, my tribe.
Oh, well, excuse me, white Aryan breedmaster.
Okay, Margaret, you know what? You win. Yeah, Reese's Pieces, big, big candy.
No, I'm just saying my people don't eat it.
Neither do mine.
Okay, so your people don't eat it, and your people, well, my people eat M&M's. How do you feel about that?
I think that you may be overstating the case just to win the argument.
No, I'm not overstating the case at all. When you go to Las Vegas, and you go down the strip right near the Four Corners there, and you look at all that, you know, garish stuff they got, and what's the museum that you see there?
The Eiffel Tower.
Not the hotel. What's the one that, not the museum, what's the store that they got?
Coca-Cola.
They got Coca-Cola, yeah. What's the other one?
The Bellagio.
not the Bellagio's, the hotel. What's the store they have?
They got Coca-Cola.
And the others, you guys have been to Vegas as recently as 2 weeks ago. I happen to know that you did because you came back running your big fat yaps about Cirque du Soleil, right?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Okay, what did you see? You went into the Coke Museum, right?
I went to the Coca-Cola Museum because my little brother wanted me to get, that that bottle carrier thing.
Okay, and what else was there?
Then the Eiffel Tower.
You know something? You're doing this on purpose.
What are we doing on purpose? I'm telling you.
There's an M&M store there, man. There's an M&M store there.
I don't remember.
If there is, then you could have blowed me over with a feather. I could have
blowed you over with a feather. There's an M&M store as big as God on that street, I'm telling you right now. You walk in there, it's just M&Ms coming out of your ears, Jack. And you're telling me you didn't see it.
I might have missed it.
You might have missed it. It's multicolored. It's huge. Right on the street.
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff in Vegas, man. What do you expect me to see? Everything?
If you're at a place that's right next door to the M&Ms, I think the Coca-Cola Museum's right next door, isn't it?
Now, how would we know, Phil? We didn't see the M&M store. We saw the Coca-Cola store. And that's it. And we saw the Eiffel Tower. And then we went up to the Barnaby Coast and or Barbary Coast. And you know.
And what?
Well,
threw some dice.
So, what are you getting all upset about?
Barely know if you approve.
I don't give a damn if you're throwing dice. Was that with my money?
Without that roll you gave me.
The $300 I gave you, did you lose it?
Yeah.
You just said you didn't care.
I didn't know you guys were going to take the $300 I gave you and blow it on a game that you guys suck at. Dice. Nice going.
Well,
Frank wanted to go up there. These two had never been to the, they'd been to the Barbary Coast. They'd never been to Caesar's Palace. And we didn't want to take them into Caesar's Palace because the buffet hadn't started yet. So we took them into Barbary Coast.
Yeah, we'd already been there.
Well, that makes sense. You wanted to go to Caesar's. You'd never been there. So instead you went to Barbary Coast.
Yeah, because the buffet had started.
All right.
Plus, you'd better bet football at Barbary Coast. That's where all the croupiers go anyway.
That's where all the croupiers go?
Apparently, all the croupiers in Vegas go to Barbary Coast to bet the football, so.
Well, you learned something new, man, but it takes me completely off the point that I was trying to make about M&Ms and all that other jazz. I don't know where I'm at now. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us to give us a little, we'll tell you. It's a surprise.
If she pisses me off,
truth is our bitch.
Hello?
The Phil Hendry Show.
Yes?
Hello?
Hello?
This is Bobby Dooley. Is there anyone there? Is there anyone there?
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I don't know, Margaret, I can't find the lyrics to the song, but we do have the song, and I guess Bud wanted to hear this too.
This is awesome.
Well, this really says it. I know this is ZZ Top. This is not Elvis?
No, this is...
Well, this will do. But I love this. I love the energy of this. Lyrically, I think it tells a wonderful story. And it goes something like this. 2, 3, and... Bright lights. Do-do-do-do-do. My soul on fire. Oh, yeah.
Yeah!
Do-do-do-do-do. You know how it goes, Phil. Come on, sing along. Do-do-do.
What am I supposed to sing along to?
Oh, would you stop being so... there... Do, 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 and the devil may care. The devil with the, you know, do. Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Oh, I love this. Oh, God, I love it. Ooh!
Yeah!
Hello? Hello, this is Bobby Dooley.
Yeah, hold on, Bobby, I'm sorry.
What in the name of Jesus is going on? My God, it's enough to raise the dead.
do-do-do and the do-do-do. I don't know the lyrics, but what does it say here?
Yeah, it's about devil may care.
No, they already... A roulette wheel. The do and the do-de-do-do.
Hello? Would you tell her to shut up?
No, you shut up. Vegas. Oh, I love this.
All right, all right. Okay, we're done. We're done. We're done.
No, we're not done.
Hello? Hello?
Would you... Excuse me. Would you shut your mouth?
Hello? Hello? I'm just going to keep saying hello.
Hey. I'm the one that puts people on hold, okay?
Well, I couldn't hear the music for the cow going, hello, hello. God. Phil, sometimes what you ask of me and what you ask of the boys here...
Well, you know, hold on for a minute. You're real cozy with the boys all of a sudden. Going to Vegas with them? You know...
We had a couple of spare tickets for O.
Yeah, his bitching is the most fun I ever had.
Yeah, and then Frank, man, he came, taught us how to play dice and everything.
We had a couple of spare tickets. Do you resent me that... Do you resent them their opportunity?
No, not at all. I didn't know that you guys were that tight.
We had a ball. What are you talking about?
Okay.
What's so funny about that?
Nothing, nothing. I mean, so you guys had a good time in Vegas, huh?
Yeah, it was fantastic. And I never saw no M&M factory, neither.
Yeah, I saw the M&M store, but we never saw a factory.
Right.
That's what I'm asking you about.
No, you said a factory. Of course we saw the M&M store.
Oh, come on, will ya?
Phil, because you don't know the questions to ask doesn't mean that we have to know the question what you want to ask.
Yeah.
Don't look at me like I've got something wrong with me. You're the one that was...
I would think that you'd know that I was asking you about the store.
Why would we know that when you kept saying M&M Factory, M&M Factory?
Because I said it's out there on the strip and it's right next to the Coca-Cola thing. Never mind.
Yep, that's right. You snooze, you lose.
Great, Caballero. You snooze, you lose. You snooze.
Shut up. You snooze, you lose. All right, coming on the line with us here is Bobby Dooley, and her husband is Steve Dooley. And
like we don't know that.
You know, do me a favor and don't get into it with her, okay?
I'm not going to get into it with her. She's the one that gets into it with me. You know.
Well, you know something, Margaret? That's because you have a way of dominating the conversation. You don't let anyone get two words in.
That is ridiculous. Anybody that's ever heard you knows that you go on and on and on. And you never shut up.
Really? Who just interrupted me right now?
I'm trying...
Who just interrupted me right now? You did.
I'm trying to make a point.
You've made your point. Bobby, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Phil. Thank you for that.
Okay. Tell me about what is in store for you, and I know you can't be specific.
No, I cannot be specific, Phil. We might be a little bit premature, but we've got a very, very exciting project that is in the works.
And this is by the... Can I say something?
No, you may not. I'm talking.
Oh, my God.
I'm talking. I'm sorry, Phil, what were you saying?
I was asking you, you have a project in the works.
Yes, we have a project in the works. I can't be specific about it, but it is very exciting. And it was formulated, thank you, Phil, by yourself, along with some other individuals that we will not mention as of yet, in response to what I felt was a very unfair move by your radio show to place Margaret Gray...
I knew it.
Excuse me, I thought well-deserved. I'm not saying you don't deserve it.
Then why did you say unfair?
I thought that I was entitled to some of the love. I didn't see any love coming my way.
Well, I don't know. This was something that came up based on Margaret's news background, her journalistic background.
I didn't see any love coming my way. That's when I went to Phil and I said, so what's on tap for me? I said, in order for you to be fair, you've just given Margaret a co-hosting role on your radio show, so when do I get mine?
Yeah, that's right. We're talking about getting mine. Remember that, Mr. Henry? You remember?
Yes, I remember.
Steve, I'll do it.
So when do you get yours? You know, that sounds so... It sounds slovenly and it sounds gluttonous.
Well, takes one to know one.
It takes one to know one.
Yeah, it takes one to know one.
I don't know. What does that mean? It takes one to know one.
It takes one to know one.
It takes one to know one.
Well, what does it mean? It means that you're accusing Margaret of being slutton. It's not...
I didn't say sluttonous. That's not even a word.
You called me a slut, though.
No, I didn't. I said slovenly and gluttonous.
It was my mistake. I said sluttonous.
Yeah, sluttonous and glovenly.
Yeah, are you glovenly? I don't even know. Look that up.
I'm going to try and...
It's not in the dictionary. I misspoke. Okay.
Well, you know something? I know what's in your heart, and I know what's in your mind, Phil, and I know that you're a good man. Margaret, on the other hand, just because I have an opportunity, like you have an opportunity, and you call me glovenous and sluttonly, and...
I did not say that. Mr. Hendry said, I said it sounded, I didn't say you were. I said it sounded gluttonous and slovenly.
Well, who said sluttonous?
I did. I made a mistake. All right.
Well, and then glovenly?
I made the mistake. I didn't say that.
Well, then who said glovenly?
It doesn't matter.
I said glovenly. I was extrapolating.
You did what?
He was extrapolating.
It's a word I taught them. It means to logically follow the connectivity of a concept to a concept, to a word, et cetera.
Extrapolate? What is that?
He's packing heat. You're strapped.
If you're strapped, you're packing heat. That's what Steve said.
Well, okay.
That's what he would say. But this is extrapolate, not strapped.
That's called by packing heat if you're strapped.
That's great, Steve. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Why don't you guys take it easy, huh?
I didn't do anything wrong. She started it.
You know something, Phil? I'm going to go to the toilet.
That's a good place for you. Go to the toilet. And make sure you bring some matches.
What a glovenous and sluttonly...
Phil Hendry.
I love this one.
Hey, we're back, okay? We're back on the air.
Hold on.
I could be you
and you could be me. Do you remember this one, Phil?
Yeah, it's Elvis.
Yeah, it's Elvis, but you know what one it is.
Yeah, I know this one. Walk a mile in my shoes.
I thought this was In the Ghetto. Oh, this is okay.
In the Ghetto?
Yeah, you know that I helped write that. Well, never mind.
Oh, Margaret.
No. Kill it. Kill the music for me. No, don't owe Margaret me. I wrote the lyrics to In the Ghetto. And another little baby lies dead down in the ghetto. You know the song.
Margaret, I know the song, and I know your claims that you helped write it.
Yes, I did. Lyrically, I didn't write the music. And his mother cried.
You wrote that, Ms. Gray? That's one of the most beautiful songs I ever heard.
Yeah, In the Ghetto is a beautiful song, Mr. Aaron. You ever hear it?
Yes, I've heard it. A million and one times I've heard it.
Well, I wrote the lyrics.
They're very beautiful, Miss Gray, that you wrote.
Yes, it goes, and the mother cries, 'cause another little baby lies dead in a crib, in a crate, something.
If you wrote it, why can't you remember it?
It's been a long time, hello.
It doesn't matter how long. You know, it doesn't matter. If you wrote something, you'd remember it.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Lerner and Lowe. God.
What's that? Is that a hot dog?
No, it's not a... Is he serious?
Not a hot... Lerner and Lowe were a songwriting team, okay?
Oh, that guy's a hot dog.
No, man, that's Oscar Mayer.
That's what I thought was a song... Okay, you're probably going to laugh, but that's what I thought was a song by songwriting team. Oscar and Mayer.
Oscar and Mayer, huh? Are you serious?
Yes, sir. But I know I got it mixed up.
See, this is why I think he's retarded. You don't like me using the word.
No, I know he's not. He's just not clued in on a lot of stuff. Let me ask something, bud. Have you ever had an Oscar Mayer hot dog?
I've had hot dog. I can't tell you what it is. Who do know?
Yeah, it is true, man. I've had a million hot dogs myself. Dodger Stadium. And I know it was a Dodger dog. Is that what they call a Dodger dog?
I don't know if they don't come packaged like Dodger dogs.
But it is a Dodger dog.
Yeah, that's what they call it, but I never saw the package it come out of. I can't tell you what it was. So you tell me if I ever had an Oscar Mayer wiener. I don't know.
I know that I've had a Hebrew wiener. You know.
Smile when you say that.
Oh, would you grow up? Bud, have you never, when you were a little kid, did your mother have a package of Oscar Mayer?
Yeah, she had a Braunschweiger and...
What about bologna?
She had bologna, too.
All right, your mother had Oscar Mayer bologna. That what would make you think that Oscar and Mayer was a songwriting team?
I don't know.
I'm telling you, I don't think he's being dumb on purpose. I think there's something slow there. Bud, Lerner and Lowe, let's see if this rings a bell. You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
On the street where you live, do do do.
Oscar and Mayer?
Oscar and Mayer.
Well, Margaret, I don't know anybody could guess what song that was from do do do.
You don't know On the Street Where You... Oh, God, are you... You're the one that I think is retarded now.
No, you know what? You're throwing that word around a little too easy here tonight. I don't like it. Fact of the matter remains that Oscar Mayer is a hot dog company. Lerner and Lowe were songwriters. And Margaret is trying to claim that she wrote the words to In the Ghetto. This is not the first time I've heard this, okay?
No, I know. I've heard what?
That you wrote the lyrics.
Are you calling me a liar? Is that what you're doing? I didn't write all of... I told you I contributed to the lyrics. And you asked me, well, then, Margaret, if you know the lyrics, you didn't sing it. I don't remember all of the lyrics. I remember the lyrics that I wrote. I wrote them with Kitty someone or Billy or Daffy. I remember one of the songwriters, you're going to laugh, but one of the songwriters, his name was Daffy or Dizzy.
Who's that? Like Dizzy Dean?
Well, who is Dizzy Dean?
A baseball pitcher. Now I know you're full of crap.
What are you talking? Get Frank on the phone. I'm getting sick of this.
Dizzy Dean.
I didn't say Dizzy Dean. He did.
That's the only Dizzy I know about.
What about Dizzy Duck? Or no, that's...
Daffy Duck.
Now I want to talk to Frank. What about Dizzy Duck? Hey, Frank, I'm sorry to bother you. How you doing tonight, Frank?
Hey, young man, I'm better than Custer. How you doing?
Great. Margaret is making claims that she wrote the lyrics to In the Ghetto.
Oh, yeah, he did. He contributed to the lyrics to In the Ghetto. I can't remember who the other... there was another woman involved. You know, Elvis did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Elvis made that a hit, and as well she should have made it a hit. It was a great song for her, and it went to the number one top of the number one chart topper. What did they call it then, Margaret?
They called it what they call it today. They call it the Hot 100.
Well, yeah, the Hot 100, but back then they had the bubbling 50. You know, they had all these ridiculous.
You know, like the top 30.
What was the one they had in L.A.?
The Boss 30.
There you go, the Boss 30. And I remember talking to the disc jockey they had over there, a guy by the name of Gary Mack, and she was saying that it was Boss Hitbound. That's what she said, anyway.
Okay.
That's what she said.
Who was she?
Bud Dickman.
Would you tell her to shut up?
All right, so let's get back to the story of...
Did you tell her to shut up?
Shut up, Bud.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you mean, ma'am? Is she trying to be funny?
No, let's get back to this. Who in the Ghetto?
Yeah, In the Ghetto was written partially by Margaret and by another... the songwriting partner was... Wasn't your partner a guy? What was her name?
His name was Teddy Benneback.
Teddy Benneback, yeah. And Teddy, I remember her because she had co-written a thing for Paul Revere and the Raiders called I've something about having it stashed or something. Do you remember that song?
Yeah, it was called Money Stash.
Money Grab is what it was called. Paul Revere and the Raiders. It was about sticking money up your... Literally, it was about taking $20 bills and shoving them up your rear end when you were coming across the border.
Wait. This was a song by Paul Revere of the Raiders?
Yeah, it wasn't a big hit. It was a B-side.
Yeah, it was a B-side. It was called Money. It was called Stuff It or Stick It. I think the reason why it didn't get any play is because of the name. It was called Stick It Up There.
Are you kidding me? I mean, I probably, one of my favorite bands when I was a teeny bopper was Paul Revere and the Raiders. They had a song called Stick It Up.
I don't think it was funny. Anyway, the guy that wrote with Margaret the lyrics to In the Ghetto was Teddy Benneback, and she went on to notoriety with Paul Revere and the Raiders, and then she formed a group called the Crystal Blue Persuasion Sex Robots or something. I don't remember.
All right, darling, you go to bed. I'll be home soon.
All right. Thank you very much. He's a great husband, but I just... He's involved in...
Yeah, I got that. Okay, thanks a lot, Frank.
Well, come on, man. I was...
All right. Okay. Why is it every time he comes on, I'm more confused?
Well, what was confusing about it? He verified that I wrote the lyrics, and all right.
Sing some more of it.
All right. And the mother cries, 'cause another little baby's thrown in the street. I forget how it goes, Phil. I know that I wrote the part about the baby that gets chucked out of a window.
There ain't no baby getting chucked out of a window. We're talking about a baby getting born in the ghetto. Then chuck him out the window.
Come on, don't get all defensive on account of they're talking about a ghetto.
I'm not getting defensive, I just want to get the lyric right.
I think I know the lyrics, I wrote them.
I doubt it. I'm sorry, Miss Gray, but I've got to say I doubt that.
I do too.
So you think I'm full of it, huh? You think I'm yanking it, you think?
I'm sorry. All right, 877-876-PHIL. What we need to do is get that song up here, and what we need to do is find the lyrics to that song, and there's a whole lot of things that we need to do on this show. Let's just get to a couple of housekeeping duties, if you don't mind.
Gotta get a sweeper.
Well, in any event, as you know, philhenryshow.com is the international, worldwide, intergalactic web headquarters of the Phil Henry Show. We're located at www.philhenryshow.com. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of archived audio there, almost 5,000 hours of archived audio for your teenage dancing and listening pleasure. And this is material that goes back over a decade. It's the largest single repository of any radio show anywhere on the planet Earth. And why? Because we're very proud of the show that we've done down through the years. Many generations, many different challenges have been thrown in front of this runaway train of a show, and we've somehow survived them all. So join us at philhenryshow.com for a backstage pass to listen to our archived audio, to watch and listen to our current show. And we have a podcast that we deliver to our subscribers every day of the current show, so you can check that out. We also have a video cast of our current show as well that you can look at a five-day archive of. We have now on-demand video for iPhone and iPad users so that you can take a look at all of our video and listen to all of our audio on demand with your iPhone or your iPad. And very, very soon, and I mean within a couple of weeks now, because I just got off the phone with the guys today, we will have live streaming for audio for iPad and iPhone users. Really excited about that. A major step forward for the Phil Henry Show.
Now, I've had a lot of people saying that the video player, the video cloud player, is different. They like it. You get a lot of people that are all, ooh, it's different.
I've gotten no complaints from anybody. People like to complain because they like to complain, but we have not had any technical problems, and people really enjoy it. People are obviously enjoying watching on demand our video casts, so that in the morning, you know, for breakfast, for midday, whatever, you can watch the show from the night before and, you know, not have to stay up late. So it's all there at philhenryshow.com. And make sure you join us as well for our daily podcast. And we got another one coming out tomorrow as well. Just hit the podcast banner on our homepage. We'll be right back. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Bobby and Steve Dooley still have to be heard, Margaret, and I would appreciate it if you just let them be heard.
I have no problem. She's the one that's all... You're a slut, you're a slut, you're a slut.
No, you started in with the slovenly and the gluttonous.
Yes, but you said gluttonly.
Oh, well, okay, I said gluttonly. We'll be back, Phil Henry Show.
Truth
it's
is
not always
our
about
bitch.
Me, Phil. Sometimes
the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I know.
Hello? Are we going to be allowed back on or not? Because I'm getting sick of you.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. All right, Margaret Gray is on with us. Bobby, just hold the line for a moment. Margaret, you don't have the music.
No, I don't, but here are the lyrics that I did co-write with Davis Herman.
No, it says songwriters Davis, Herman.
Davis, Herman. Yes, the two men.
Margaret.
Phil, I know I sent in lyrics as part of the contest. Just never mind, okay?
Okay, part of the contest.
Never mind, I know that I wrote some of these lyrics. Here it goes. 1, 2, 1, 2. 2, 2, and a 1, 2, 2. As the snow flies. See, that's what I do. That's what I do. I add those signature moments that only I, Margaret Gray, can add. And that's what Bobby...
Margaret, I don't mind your signature moments. Steve and I have been waiting patiently.
If you would just wait a few more minutes.
But when you do this, you drag it out. As the snow flies.
Oh, my God. That was wretched.
Well, how do you think it sounds when you do it?
Just, Bobby, I apologize. Go ahead, Margaret.
Well, am I going to be allowed...
Go ahead.
All right. A one and a two and a 1, 2, 2. Ooh, ooh. 2, 2. As the snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morning, and a little baby child is born in the ghetto. And his mama cries, 'cause if there's one thing that she don't need, it's another loud brat screaming.
Wait. Let's know it's another loud brat.
That's what I wrote. I don't know what. What is it here?
It's another hungry mouth to feed.
No, no, no. That will never do.
Did you write that, Miss Gray?
No, they changed it. They changed my work.
Oh, well, they changed your work. Can't you sing it with a little more sensitivity?
Oh, well, I'll try, Liberace.
Liberace. Liberace. You might as well come.
Shut up. Go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry, Phil, but this is the way that I wrote it. Now I have to start all over again. Oh, God. Well, when will this end?
Yeah, good question.
Well, that was real smart-ass of you.
Would you just come on, please?
1, 2, 1, 2. As the snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morning, and let-do-do-do-do-do. See, I like to do it that way.
All right, just sing it the way it's supposed to be sung.
All right. As the snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto. And then you have the chorus. In the ghetto. And then, as his mama cry. I wrote mama. They wanted me to write mother. I said, you know what? I want it to have an authentic feel. And they said, well, Elvis is going to be singing it. And I said, same difference, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, as his mama cries, 'cause if there's one thing that she don't need, it's a loud screaming brat and another hungry... What are you doing?
I don't want to hear a loud screaming brat. The song's got a certain beautiful lyric to it that I think you should stick to.
Oh, well, yes, sir. I only wrote it.
Well, whatever you wrote, they ain't using anymore because it ain't in that lyric.
It ain't?
No, it ain't, Mama. Let's,
Oh, touche, Phil, touche.
What does that mean, touche?
Nothing. Bobby and Steve Dooley are with us.
Touche meaning he went Mama, because that's what you wrote. You wanted to be authentic?
Well, I didn't write Mama. I wrote Mama. It says, and his mama cries. It isn't, and his mama cries.
Oh, God, you flatted there.
Yeah, it sounded like you flatted.
That I'm flat? What did they say?
You flatted the... You're a singer. Don't you know what that means?
All I know is I heard her say, oh, you're flat. You know what? So are you.
No, I'm not. You haven't obviously... Well, that's funny. I've got to laugh, because anyone that's taken a look at mine, you know...
All right, ladies. Bobby, would you please? You have a very nice announcement to make.
Well, she's had about an hour and a half.
I will make the announcement that I have agreed to make, and I will go no further. I simply want to say to all Bobby Dooley fans, a new day has dawned, sunny and bright.
Oh, God.
And...
All right, Margaret, I've never banned you from the studio.
That's all right, I'm going to the toilet.
Yay! Yay for the toilet!
And I will...
Ow! What did you do that for?
I'm going to the toilet. I announce it. You don't. When you announce it, it's like everyone go to the keyhole. She's pulling her girdle down.
You see what, you know what, I...
That's all right. Go ahead, Margaret. All right.
Wow.
Woo! Wow, boy. Yeah, man.
Oh, would you come on?
All right. We have a very special announcement to make to all of our Bobby Dooley followers and Bobby Dooley fans. I cannot be specific. I will tell you that we are extending our brand. Let's put it that way.
Now, can you tell us, Bobby, and I happen to know what this is. I won't give it away.
What is it?
Well, it's... I told you I'm not going to give it away. I happen to know what it is. Can you tell us in what medium?
I will say that it is in a medium that I can't say of what it is.
So you can't say?
No. I can say that I can't say.
Okay, so that's not saying.
No, it was me. Well, all right, if you want to split hairs.
Yeah. But, Bobby, you are going to be involved in an entertainment, a presentation of some kind, hosted by you.
Yes, hosted by me. And it will be I can tell you, Phil, it's going to be very big. It's going to involve exciting people. And I'm not kidding. This is not a joke.
No, I happen to know that it's not a joke, and you're not kidding. And can you tell us when we can hear this?
Well, I will tell you, Phil, that we are readying ourselves for production beginning in the next 2 weeks.
So we will probably hear you at some time in the next 3 or 4 weeks, maybe?
It depends. It depends on a lot of things. It depends on whether or not this gets a wider distribution than we initially expect. But, yes, I think you're right.
All right. Well, I think you just said a whole lot there that didn't mean anything. But nonetheless, congratulations, Bobby.
Well, I was listening in the toilet, and...
That's a good place to be. You listened to my announcement in the toilet.
That's where I was sent to.
No, you said you were going to the... You know, I'd have more respect for you if you had something to say. I wouldn't be sitting on a toilet with one cheek lifted up, ready to...
Well, I'm sorry, Bobby.
I just think it's you all over. Disrespect, disrespect.
All right, anyway, Bobby Dooley with a special announcement that she will be debuting something in the next couple of weeks to 3 weeks. Very exciting, and that's the announcement. We don't know more than that, but when we find out, when we get it, you'll get it. When you get it, I've got it. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
When you get it, we get it.
No, not but on the news. Well, we get it, you get it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Phil.
No, it goes when you get it, I'll get it.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show, every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And final hour of the show here as we launch into a week following the Thanksgiving weekend. I'm not doing any real recap on Thanksgiving. I'm assuming that people, you know, ate a lot of food. I didn't.
That diet of yours is unhealthy. Now you're just turning anorexic.
No, I'm not anorexic, but I am not going. I swore a blood oath. I will never, ever be that weight again.
You're not going to be that weight. Why don't you have a nice, healthy Thanksgiving dinner with all the trimmings?
Yeah, I should have had it with the trimmings.
Well, I didn't have it with the trimmings, okay? As I was saying to everybody here off the air, the only thing I had for Thanksgiving that was out of the ordinary is because I hit my target weight, which was 210 pounds on Halloween weekend, and I went to Washington, D.C. on, roughly around Halloween, and it was in Washington, D.C. that I officially broke my diet. I had the one thing that I'd been craving, and it's probably going to sound really sick, but it was sugar. It was candy, and I ate cookies, and I ate chocolate bars, and I ate caramel corn, and then after I did that, I said, oh, wow, I'd really like some Chinese food. So I had some Chinese food. And then I had room service. I had a steak. So, yeah, you know, by the time I got home, I would say, and then I went back on the diet. I think I was up around 2 weeks ago. I was around 217. So I'd put it back on. But then this week, I got back on the scale, and I was at 212. And so that was cool. However, 210 being the target, and with an ultimate goal of now getting down to 200.
See, that's what I think is I think you're mentally diseased.
Yeah, you're trying to lose too much weight. You're going to waste away.
Oh, would you get out of here, waste away? I used to be 195, 190, 185 pounds at one time in my life. 200 pounds ain't going to kill me. I remember when I was 200 pounds, I thought I was like, you know, overweight. So, you know, it's the only thing about losing weight when you're at this particular age, especially when you lose weight after you've had a lot of weight, is you obviously you stretched your freaking gut out, man. So I got to do something like crunches or something or weights or something to kind of tone the old body up. But anyway, so that's what I had over the Thanksgiving holidays. I had more chocolate. I mean, I was just down with chocolate. That's
all you wanted.
That's all I wanted. I had Hershey bars and I had Reese's cups and man, I was loving it, you know. So why did I bring this up? Oh, I don't know. But anyway, I want to show you something. This has absolutely nothing to what I was just talking about. Casey Anthony detectives overlooked Google search. And what Google search did they overlook? The Florida Sheriff's Office that investigated the disappearance of Casey Anthony's 2-year-old daughter overlooked evidence that someone in their home did a Google search for foolproof suffocation methods on the day the girl was last seen alive? Come on!
Well, I mean, you know, you can't just...
I agree with you. Don't want to jump to conclusions, you know.
What do you mean, jump to conclusions?
What are you talking about? On a dated kid who's gone.
You don't know. Her mother was a nurse.
Yeah, her mother was a nurse and what?
Her mother was a nurse and probably looked up different medical terms.
Yeah, there's probably a medical reason.
What medical reason? Let me ask you a question. What medical reason does a mother have, does a nurse have for looking up, what was it again?
It's a foolproof suffocation.
What medical reason does a nurse have for foolproof suffocation?
You have a lot of times, because I know my aunt was a nurse, all right? And a lot of times you have people that are unruly.
People that are unruly.
Yes.
So let's foolproof.
Well, you see, he does this. He laughs.
No, I know. I'm very familiar with it.
He laughs when we've got him. You always laugh, Phil, when you're backed into a corner.
Margaret, I'm not backed into a corner. I'm not backed into... You can get your aunt on the phone if you want.
I don't know if she's still awake or not. I'll call her up. Hey, don't wake up my aunt, man. I'll call her up. Here, let me... Well, she might not want to talk to you. Why? Because you're a dumbass. You're the dumbass.
Get her on the phone, will you, if you want to call her, and if not, don't. We'll get to the bottom of this. Don't worry about it. Hey, Mavis?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, please.
This is Mr. Henry, Mavis. How are you?
Yeah, I'm holding for Phil Henry.
This is Phil Henry.
Yeah, all right, Phil.
Okay, I just had a question for you.
All right.
Did you ever, when you were a nurse, look up foolproof ways to suffocate people?
Did I ever, as a nurse, look up a foolproof way to suffocate someone?
Yeah.
I would never, ever tell you if I did. That's for sure. That's for GD sure. Did I ever want to? Of course. That goes with the territory. Did I ever, you asking me a confidence now? I'm on the radio. It's not confidential, is it?
No, it's not confidential. I'm asking you.
Well, now slow down, Phil, because you started to sound nervous. You and I, I don't like that talking to me. I'm an elderly African-American woman. When someone starts in with the na-na, I think they're making fun of me. And then I get pissed.
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
You did it again.
By the way, this is Robert. I just want to ask you a question. Did you ever look up a foolproof way to suffocate someone?
I just was answering a man's question. You let me answer the question?
Yeah, I know, but you're talking about Phil going mama.
I want to know if the man saying mama is a way of doing some Aunt Jemima joke on me.
You know I would never do that, Mavis.
All right, I'm just trying to double check on it. You know, I want to check my runners on first and third, you know. You understand what I'm saying, don't you?
Okay, I understand.
Well, either you do or you don't.
Mavis, this is Margaret. I understand. The question is, because Casey Anthony. Do you know Casey Anthony?
I know of her. I don't know her.
Well, you know she's the one that was accused of killing her daughter.
Yeah, she was accused. She is guilty of sin. And she's out there now with her butt up in the breeze going to the dirty T-shirt contest and everything.
Well, no, it's a wet T-shirt contest.
What's the one?
They're called wet T-shirt contests.
So what? She was in a wet T-shirt?
No, the contest is called a wet T-shirt.
Well, all right. I don't know. I can tell you I'm a woman. I've been to church. I've lived a life that I would like to believe in moral. And I don't know anything about a wet T-shirt, a filthy T-shirt, a filthy pants. She being a filthy, dirty streak underwear contest for all I care. Because that's what I think a woman like that would do, to kill a little baby like that.
All right, so you're agreed with the rest of us. She killed her daughter.
I'll tell you now, I looked into the face of that woman, that white devil.
No, you got to watch that out on it, man. A lot of white people don't like that.
I don't give a sweet dick. To ask me if I give a damn. Ask me if I give a damn.
You got to talk about white devil, though.
Ask me if I give a damn. I'm talking about a woman right now killing two innocent little baby girls.
All right, okay. I accept your anger and your characterization, maybe. So just the question is, when you were a nurse, did you ever have to look up...
We didn't have no Google in those days. Are you people out of your minds? I don't have no Google. What the hell I'll look it up in? I won't look it up in Encyclopedia Britannica. Look up foolproof suffocation, Encyclopedia, Encyclopedia, Pedia. What do they call that?
Darling, Wikipedia.
They didn't have no Wikipedia back when I was a nurse, you dumbass. I'm talking about, when I was a nurse, you had to look something up. You look it up on a physician desk reference.
Did it have it in there?
Oh, baby. Woo! Did it have a foolproof suffocation in a physician desk reference? Now I heard it all. I should have strangled you in the cradle. As my sister lay there, sweat on her face, and said, one more. I just had another baby boy. All I wanted was a daughter, and I got my fifth baby boy. And I said, you know what, if you want, I'll go ahead and put him out now. I'll put him away now. She said, nah, let him live.
Man! Are you kidding me?
Man, that's the biggest load of bullcrap I've ever heard in my life.
Bullcrap? If your father was still alive, I'd ask him straight up and say, Jevis, did you hear me say to your wife, Kenneth, my sister, you want me to put the kid, you want me to ice it or what? And he just said, damn if you didn't.
You said, do you want me to ice it?
I was kidding, but I did say it.
All right, okay, you kidding? Thought you were serious.
Can we get back to what we're talking about? So I'm going to, that's a big negative.
What is, Robert?
No, did you ever need to know about foolproof suffocation? The answer's no.
I never need to suffocate who? There are a couple of nurses I want to suffocate. There are some of the doctors I want to suffocate. Some of the family members I want to suffocate. One or two patients I want to suffocate. And nowadays, God help me, I wanted to suffocate myself. But I never had to look that stuff up. I knew exactly what about the day come I'm going to suffocate somebody. I know what the hell I'm doing. Now, there was a time about three...
All right. Thank you very much, Mavis.
But you don't want to whoop my ass up.
So there you go.
Well, what does that prove?
Well, there's no nurse. She's a nurse, and she didn't have to look up foolproof suffocation. Here's the story. The Florida sheriff, we told you, the Orange County Sheriff's Captain Angelo Nevis said Sunday that the office's computer investigator missed the June 16, 2008 search. The agency's admission was first reported by Orlando television station WKMG. It's not known who performed the search. The station reported it was done on a browser primarily used by the two-year-old's mother, Casey Anthony, who was acquitted of the girl's murder in 2011. Anthony's attorneys argued during during trial that Casey Anthony helped her father, George Anthony, cover up the girl's drowning in the family pool. WKMG reports that sheriff's investigators pulled 17 vague entries only from the computer's Internet Explorer browser, not the Mozilla Firefox browser commonly used by Casey Anthony. More than 1,200 Firefox entries, including the suffocation search, were overlooked. You know, it really, sometimes it amazes me when you talk about experts and you talk about people that know their stuff. And I've been around a lot of them. And I got to tell you, 50% of the time I watch them doing their thing. And I always say to one of them,
don't you want to do this too? And, oh, yeah. And they'll, you know, just because a guy's an expert or is considered to be an expert in his field doesn't mean the guy's an expert in his field. And here's a guy, looked up Internet Explorer, oh, yeah, found all his stuff, Internet Explorer, it's grand. Well, there's another browser, Firefox, which, by the way, I dare say a lot of people use. I do. I wouldn't use Internet Explorer to find out what time it is. That's just me. So here's a whole other browser that she uses, and they find foolproof suffocation. What if they found something like how to kill a 2-year-old female with duct tape across the mouth?
Yeah.
What if they found that?
But still, it's, you know, her word against yours.
Her word against mine.
What does that prove?
Margaret, listen to what I just said. What if they found in the search engine...
Yes.
How to murder a 2-year-old female using duct tape across the mouth in Orlando, Florida?
Well, when are they going to see something like that?
I'm just asking, would that be enough for you? Would that be enough for you?
Would that be enough to prove that she's guilty? No. No, it would not. Not even close.
Oh, okay. So she's looking that up for what?
She could be doing a lot of stuff. She could be writing a script for a screenplay, or she could be writing a book for a screenplay, or I mean, she could be writing a script for a book, or she could be practicing writing a screenplay.
Uh-huh. Or she's writing a screenplay for a book that's going to be a script?
Yeah.
You're mocking him, Phil.
Well, you know, you guys, you don't know your ass from a hole in the ground. All right, we'll be right back. Let's see. Dan just sent me something here. Oh, we have to break. Oh, this is the 11th hour. This is from last week. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth,
I just looked up the beer
is
thing.
Our bitch.
Oh, look at this.
The Phil Six Hendry pack. Show.
That's from last week.
I don't care. It's interesting.
Let's get back to, because this story is really important. We're talking about this Casey Anthony and the fact that the Orange County Sheriff in Orlando, Florida is now admitting, well, you know, we overlooked some searches on the computer, and one of the searches that we missed was a search for foolproof way to suffocate somebody. And as I was saying to Margaret, you know, and I'm a, you know, Margaret, I'm not trying to make an ass out of you.
Well, no, not much.
Well, but I just said, what is it going to take for some of these people? I know, you know, you can't possibly think she's innocent.
I think there was a rush to judgment is all. And I think Jose Bayarina, I forget his name.
Baez. Jose Baez, ain't that it?
No, it's not Baez, is it?
Yes, Jose Baez. I don't know what the French is.
Oh, the French is Baez.
Okay, you know, I'm tired of the French. Can we just do the Spanish?
You're tired of the French.
Can we do the Spanish?
Well, the Spanish would be Buzz or Buzz. I think it's Buzz. That would be his first name, though.
His first name is Buzz?
That's the... You Anglify it and you get Buzz Baez. You know what? I don't have to be laughed at.
Margaret, come on.
No, I won't be laughed at.
Buzz Baez. Anyway, so here's the thing. The Orange County Sheriff, they find the search, and it says, you don't want to come back, Margaret?
I'm in the toilet unless you get your kicks looking at women going number two.
Anyway, here is a search that they overlooked that said a foolproof way to suffocate somebody. Now, I don't know what that proves, folks. I don't know. It is assumed... And I think it's a fairly decent assumption that if you are investigating or uncovering searches in a computer that is used by a suspect, that what that person is searching for may be relevant. It's not proof of having committed a murder. Who knows? Maybe she did it for laughs. I it's hard to say.
What do you mean for laughs?
Well, I know her daughter turned up missing, so it's very, very difficult to say, oh, gee, what a coincidence. I was searching for a foolproof way to suffocate people because I was going to do a joke on my boyfriend, and it turns out that my daughter's missing. Gee, what an unfortunate coincidence. I don't think so. But it can't possibly be used as proof. It is, however, circumstantial evidence of some, you know, thinking on her part. So what happened was the agency's admission was first reported by a local TV station. They reported the sheriff's investigators pulled 17 vague entries only from the computer's Internet Explorer, but not from Mozilla Firefox, which is what Casey Anthony used. 1,200 Firefox entries, including the suffocation search, were overlooked. Whoever conducted the Google search looked for the term foolproof suffocation, misspelling it S-U-F-F-I-C-A-T-I-O-N.
What a dumbass!
Well, I mean, it's probably not that big of a misspelling, but... And then clicked on an article about suicide that discussed taking poison and putting a bag over one's head. The browser then recorded activity on the social networking site MySpace, which was used by Casey Anthony, but not her father. A computer expert for Anthony's defense team found the search before the trial. Her lead attorney, Jose Baez, first mentioned the search in his book about the case, but suggested it was George Anthony conducted the search after Kaylee drowned because he wanted to kill himself. Not knowing about the computer search, prosecutors had argued Kaylee was poisoned with chloroform and then suffocated by duct tape placed over her mouth and nose. The girl's body was found 6 months after she disappeared in a field near the family home and was too decomposed for the exact cause of death to be determined. Many jurors apparently went into hiding and amid public outrage over the verdict and refused to comment, but two have said prosecutors couldn't conclusively prove how Kaylee died. You know, as I pointed out on a tweet that I did tweet one day.
Yeah.
10% of all homicide, all murder cases have DNA evidence introduced in the trial. 10%. That means 90% of all murder cases don't have any DNA evidence. 90%. Meaning they don't have any evidence of the perpetrator. But you still have to find out who committed the murder, don't you? Or do you just give up? Do you just give up? Now, in the months and the over a year now since this trial, I admit that I've often thought, boy, those prosecutors were kind of, I think they took a lot for granted. I think they thought it was a slam dunk, you know?
Yeah, that's what I thought, man, the way they were talking about it. Yeah, she's, you know, they acted like they, everything they said was gold, man.
Yeah, they acted like everything that dropped out of their butts was a gold nugget, you know.
Yeah, that's nice, bud. God.
What?
So, I think they did think it was a slam dunk. I think they talked to the jury as if the jury was kind of, you know, empathetic to where they were going, and yeah, you guys know what we mean. She's beginning to talk. We've got to kill her now, or else Mom will know the stuff that I, you know, this bullcrap. So what happened was, no, the jury didn't go, I don't think they were bright enough, to be honest with you, and I do believe it was a CSI jury, a bunch of people waiting for the smoking gun, a bunch of people waiting for the blood DNA, the spit DNA, the semen DNA, something. You know,
well, ain't gonna be no semen DNA.
It's not DMA, it's DNA.
Yeah, what'd you say?
I said DMA.
Ain't it DMA?
It ain't DMA. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. Nonetheless, this is this Casey Anthony trial, man. They are saying the Orange County detectives blew it. They blew it. We'll be right back. Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. So anyway, there's the Casey Anthony story, and, you know, what are you going to do? It's a whack thing. It's wild. It's wiggy. And I remember when I was following the trial like the rest of you guys, and I thought, well, now, what the hell? How could they find... I was the same as everybody. How could they find her innocent? And I try to be a juror And when I put myself in their shoes, I don't care how smart you are, your intelligence is only going to help you so much. You may be a brain surgeon, man. You may be a rocket scientist, but you can only, by law, you can only consider the evidence before you and the evidence that has been admitted at trial, and you may not consider anything that has not been admitted. And a lot of us, you know, we go on the whole, oh, my God, you know, I saw this and that. Well, we saw a lot of stuff the jury didn't see. But having said all of that, there's like this heavy circumstantial thing that was going on with that Casey Anthony case. Oh, well, you know, she was out dancing, and the baby wasn't seen, and she was lying to her mother, and all of that stuff, I could even understand that. You know, well, that's not good enough. If I was on the jury and they said that's not good enough, all right, I guess. But, man, how do you get past the fact that the inside of her car smelled like a dead body had been in there?
Yeah, well, a lot of times if I get in Bud's car, what? I swear to God.
You trying to be funny?
No, I get into Bud's car, smell like a dead body.
That's the shit. You don't know what a dead body or what a dead body sounds like.
I'm not saying dead body don't sound like anything.
What do you mean a dead body sounds like?
I mean smells like.
Well, okay, but how come your car stink?
Because it just stinks. Because there is first of all, that In-N-Out burger that I did take out. I did just now take it out.
Hey, Bud, what, you know, why don't you clean your car up? Forget about whether it smells like a dead body. What is it with you, huh?
I said I cleaned it up.
You got a freaking burger in there for, what, 6 months? Good God.
That ain't the thing that smelled. The thing that smelled is you had a carton of milk. God.
Yeah, I was going to drink it.
How old was the carton of milk?
About 3 months.
You're not going to drink a three-month-old carton of milk, man. It isn't going to happen. Okay?
I know, but I was at the time that I could have, I would have done it.
That's what made it stink. And I swear, milk, I smelled like a dead man. Like a man died, laying, oh, Lord.
Yeah, get out of here, man. You sounded like you're fishing for catfish and everything.
What you shut up? Hey, come on now.
Dice does that. Does Mr. Zippity Doodah.
Man, I'm going to kick you. Hey,
watch it, will you, for crying out loud?
Good guy told you, though.
I don't give a damn, but you told me, man. Your car stinks.
Clean your freaking car up, man, okay? Forget about Casey Anthony. Got a car that smells. But, I mean, that's my point. If you got a car, zippity-doo-dah.
I'm getting tired of that, man.
Well, you're all like, Lord, Lord.
Yeah, so what?
All right. So what, Bud? You know, you with the race baiting, you know, one of these days, I hope he beats your ass, like, almost into a hospital bed. That's what I really hope, because that's going to be the only thing that'll teach you.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, you really? You didn't do anything? You keep it up, man. He's going to kick your ass right into a hospital, and I won't stop him. So, Casey Anthony, if there was one thing that they kept presenting at that trial over and over and over again, forget about the circumstantial. Everything's circumstantial. I understand that. She had a shovel, so she had a shovel. Maybe she wanted to go out and dig ditches for kicks. Maybe it was the way she relaxed. Who knows? And it just so happens, okay. So she lied. So she said the nanny had the baby. So what? That doesn't prove she killed a baby. We need the... They had the smell of a dead body in that car. Now, come on. You got a nurse, the mother reacting to it. The father smells it. The cop smells it. She's got to use Febreze. What the hell is that? Does that not lead you? Isn't that physical evidence?
That is not physical. They don't have any test that can quantify or measure. All right? Please listen to me, Phil, because as a reporter, I've been around. Let me tell you something. I've been around dead bodies as a reporter. It's not pleasant. And I covered a story here in Santa Monica not too long ago. It's about 6 months ago, of a man whose wife had killed him. She stuck him in the trunk of her car. And because she was so psychopathic and so sociopathic, just the stench of death didn't bother her. And it was only when she was attempting, I think, to go through that border station near Camp Pendleton that the border officers there smelled what they thought was fertilizer. So they figured she was a farm worker and she was a very well-dressed woman. And so they wanted her to open the trunk so they could see what kind of fertilizer it was. It stunk like something that dropped out of a cow's ass.
And it was a dead body?
No, it was fertilizer. So what...
Well, hold on for a minute. Where'd the dead body go?
Well, she buried that. What are you asking me?
What are you talking about when you say dead body?
I smelled the body when they dug it up.
Well, what's this got to do with her going through a border station with fertilizer?
She was going to try to cover up the stink of the body with the fertilizer that she bought at Home Depot.
God! Margaret, you guys, all of you, gotta find a better way of telling the story. I got no idea what it is you're talking about, okay? I'm just gonna say this for the record, and then I'm done.
Well, what's the confusion?
She drove through the border station, and it stunk to high heaven, and there wasn't a body in the trunk. It was fertilizer that she was taking to cover up the body that she buried in her backyard.
Yes.
So how did she get arrested?
Oh, she got arrested by the... she was arrested by San Diego Sheriff. She wasn't arrested by the Border Patrol. Is that what you thought?
Well, I'm wondering why you brought this up.
Because the car stunk like a dead body.
Well, in any event, to me, that was a piece of actual physical... Just because it's a smell, isn't that physical? Wouldn't you call that physical? I would. I know you can't necessarily take a reading. I think they did. But nonetheless, this was something real. This is something that was shared by third parties, everybody, from Mrs. Anthony to, you know, the grandmother, to one of the cops, at least, to Mr. Anthony, to the junkyard guy or the tow yard guy. He smelled it. I mean, everybody said the car stinks like a decom. And folks, people know what decom. People who've been around dead bodies know what they smell like. Cops, nurses, in the case of Cindy Anthony, you know, rescue workers, search and rescue people. I mean, they know what a decomposing human body smells like, and they said this car's had a dead body in it. Well, you know, that's not enough. You're gonna have that. See, that's the part that pissed me off about those people. Speaking of decomposing bodies...
Segway.
Right. Speaking of decomposing bodies... Bud Dickman will have our... I'm kidding. Speaking of decomposing bodies, a woman was arrested in Florida after her husband's decomposing body was found. Here's another husband that's been decomposing. How many decomposing husbands does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know. How many?
I couldn't tell you either. Must be millions.
So that's the joke.
You answered it properly.
Yeah! That's a pretty good joke.
So I don't know how many is the joke?
Yeah. How many I just made it up, Margaret. Who knows? Anyway, detectives in Florida are trying... Well, it's better than... Anyway, detectives in Florida are trying to unravel the mystery of how a woman's husband died after his body was found decomposing inside their home.
Maybe he decomposed to death.
Yeah. Maybe he decomposed to death, huh? So he started decomposing before he died. James Dennis Peters, well, I can understand that, age 62... who's had a history of domestic violence arrest with his 56-year-old wife, Cherie Hines Peters, was found lying on the ground covered in a sheet, according to, quote, Fox 13. Relatives and neighbors in Haines City became suspicious after asking Sherry where her husband was the past 3 weeks. She claimed he was hunting at a hospital or doing yard work. Anyway, two of James's daughters and a sister-in-law approached the house on Friday and discovered his body after questioning Sherry, who drove away and said she had to get gas. Yeah, I'll bet she did. She had to get a full tank of gas.
Yeah, and get out of the state.
Polk County police later arrested Sherry at a Dundee motel room and charged her with manslaughter, possession of cocaine, and tampering with evidence. Sherry told police that she had shot James in a struggle over a gun, but after authorities couldn't find the weapon in her home, she said she sold the gun to buy drugs. So she shot this guy and just left him moldering there in the house.
I don't know all these people that mummify, man. How come that can't happen to somebody like that?
Well, you know, this whole thing about bodies mummifying, there was a very famous story here in Southern California, and it was a couple of years old now, of a very well-known actress, very beautiful actress from the 50s, who was as well a Playboy playmate, I think, at one time. And she died in her home in one of the canyons, Laurel Canyon, Coldwater Canyon, I forget which one. It was discovered that she had passed on, or somehow it was discovered that there was something amiss when one of her neighbors, you know, just a very kind person, you know how people are, we go about our days, man, we don't notice each other, but this lady, she saw the mail had piled up, she noticed that there was, you know, something wrong, so she got entry into the house, and they discovered this woman mummified,
And what I mean by that, she wasn't wrapped in bandages, but the body had not decomposed to the extent that one would think that it should, you know.
Well, how long had she been dead?
Several months, like 3 or 4 months.
And there was no decomposition.
Well, there was. There, and this is kind of, I guess, maybe making some people queasy, but what the hell, it's after midnight, and it's kind of interesting because it's all about murder and scary stuff. Anyway, what happens is if the temperature is right, if the air is dry enough, if just the right conditions exist, and in California, I think this was in the summertime, in California the air does get very dry, the body will not decompose. It will just sort of dry out. And you'll be laying there just all, you know, sucked up or something, man.
Yeah, probably look like that one dead corpse in the Life Force movie.
Yeah, did you ever see that vampire movie?
What vampire movie?
Yeah, the one about, yeah, they came from Venus or something. No, I know, they was from the tail of Hale-Bopp.
They were from the tail of Hale-Bopp? What are you talking about?
There were vampires living in the tail of Hale-Bopp. And anyway, they come down to Earth. They are in the tail of Hale-Bopp, then they come down to Earth.
Yeah, and they sucked out, and they sucked it out.
What did they suck out? Life force? What are you guys talking about?
They're talking about, like, the life force, I guess.
Oh, I saw that asinine film. Was that Steve Railsback? What happened to Steven Railsback? My God, he was brilliant. He was brilliant in Helter Skelter. He played Manson.
Oh, yeah, he was fantastic in that. Was he in that?
I don't know. There's one guy that got sucked up by the vampire.
What kind of vampires are these, man? They're living in the tail of Hale-Bopp. What is this?
It was a movie, man. It called Life Force. And anyway, the vampire living in the tail of Hale-Bopp, they come down to Earth, suck out all the precious bodily juices, you know, and...
Yeah.
No, I don't know. No, I don't know. No, suck out all the precious... They suck the blood?
Well, yeah.
And these are vampires?
Yeah, they're like spades. They're like a hell... Like, I don't know. They're like vampires that live on a comet.
They're vampires that live on a comet. Boy, I'll tell you, man. You know, I got to ask myself, does Hollywood really believe that we're not going to sit and laugh ourselves sick? I mean, do you guys think this is scary? What the hell are you talking about? What do we come out with a flick like that? Steve Railsback, God bless him. He was fantastic as Manson. What happened to Steve Railsback?
That's what I was just asking you.
I think he's a great actor. Great actor. And if he only had that one role, man, that was the role for him. You should have just kept on playing psychos, Steve. Maybe he was one of those, you know, and I don't blame him. If it's an actor, said, no, I don't want to play any more psychos. I want to play a good guy. I want to play a vampire that lives in the tail of Hale-Bopp, you know.
What's the difference between that and Charles Manson?
Yeah, that'd be my point.
Yeah, you're right. What's the difference? All right.
Are you kidding? Charles Manson and a vampire that lives in the tail of Hale-Bopp. I think the edge goes to the vampire in the Hale-Bopp.
Not necessarily. If you take a look at the statistics...
You get out of here with this. I got to take a break. We'll be right back if you take a look at the statistics. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Vampire.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, but I blew it, man. That thing was great, man.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So, you are asking me, bud, about... Steve Railsback's fantastic. Peter Lorre is another guy. Now, this is from my generation. Not my generation. It's from... I remember Peter Lorre from movies on TV. I never saw him in a movie theater.
Well, what about... Did you see him in the Voyage to the Bottom of the... What was the film with Walter Pidgeon? Oh, God, I loved it so.
I don't know.
The one... The Voyage to...
Yeah, I know that. Voyage... 20,000... The Voyage Down to the... Voyage Down to the Sea.
Yeah.
Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
Yes. And Peter Lorre played the... He played something. He played... he played a good guy.
Right, I know. But it was like I was saying to Dan, Peter Lorre never played a good guy until later in his career. He always played either an evil guy or a guy that was up to no good, who was kind of a good guy, but he was up to no good, like the guy he played in Casablanca. He meets his end early in the movie. Rick, you know, he's always talking about, Rick, you know, Rick, would you please stash this for me? All that stuff. And he winds up getting shot. Or he played the bad guy in the Maltese Falcon. He always played kind of a slimy guy. And Dan was telling me the movie you got to see, Peter Lorien, was the one that made him a hit, which made the one that made him a big star, which was, or at least the one that got him to the United States, was a movie called M. And it's subtitled, the one that I saw. But man, Peter Lorre is like, he knocks it out of the park. He plays this sick, twisted child murderer who is put on trial by the thugs and the thieves and the reprobates of the Prague under, I think it's Berlin or Prague, I forget where.
Well, where was it made?
M? I think it was made in Germany, so it's Berlin. And he murders a kid, and he gets away with it, but the thieves and murderers, the scum of the Berlin underworld, they put him on trial themselves because, you know, just as we know from real life in prisons, the child molester or the child killer is the lowest thing there is on the prisoner, you know, pecking order there. Well, in this film, they illustrated that by way of this. So anyway, Peter Lorre's, that made him a star in Europe, and he came over to the States and started doing his stuff. But if you ever want to see him in a flick, man, you got to see this Beast with Five Fingers. You ever see that?
No, what's that?
This movie is about as nuts as it is, as can be. It's a movie.
Is that the one where the guy's hand goes crawling up a guy's shirt?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty creepy.
What are you talking about?
Hold on. In the flick, some guy is a famous piano player. He dies, and his hand is crawling around the house, you know?
What?
That's, I'm telling you. And anyway, and Peter Lorre is a riot in this thing because he's always talking about, I got to kill the hand, you know? He takes the hand, he throws it into the fire. The hand crawls out of the fire and crawls up Peter Lorre's... up his shirt and tries to choke him.
Man, what is this, a comedy?
Well, when I think back on it now, yeah. But it's the goofiest flick you ever saw in your life, called The Beast with Five Fingers, and it's about it's a psychological drama because it's all in the head. Peter Lorre is nuts. He's nuts. And I think he might have been the actual murderer or something, but he imagines this hand that was the piano-playing hand, a very powerful right hand of this guy that died, coming back to life and crawling around the house and hiding. You know, at one point, the hand's hiding under a sofa.
What? Dude, you get it out of there with a fireplace poker or something.
Yeah.
What?
Why don't they get a fireplace poker and push it out from under there?
You're not talking logically here, man. I mean, if there was a hand under the sofa, I guess I might, but we're talking about a guy that's crackers, okay? So anyway, you got to check that out, called The Beast with Five Fingers. Oh, God, with Peter Lorre. All right. One other thing, I wanted to just mention the house. Did I tell you the house?
Well, you were going to talk about this.
When we were talking about salesmen, I was telling Dan about this. I did a gig once in Orlando, Florida, and this will really just is a total non sequitur from Peter Lorre and a hand crawling around a house. Although, you know, it could have been the hand. The hand might have been crawling around the talking house in Longwood, Florida, which is where I was once many years ago, part of a team of disc jockeys. And we were assigned different microphones that were connected to different appliances and different features of this brand new home. It was called the Talking House, and they had hundreds, maybe even thousands of people visit this house over the course of the weekend. And each of us was assigned to a different aspect of the house. We had a two-way television in front of us so we could see people who were coming to the open house approaching whatever appliance it was that our microphone was connected to. For instance, my mic was connected to the garbage disposal. And so when I saw people walking up to the garbage disposal, I'd talk into the mic and say, "Hi, I'm the Kevlo Garbage Disposal 1260. And they'd laugh.
"Oh, you're kidding. That's cute."
Yeah. And they'd laugh, and I'd say, "Well, do you want to know anything about me?" And they'd go, "Yeah, you know, how old are you?" They'd try to be funny. And then they'd say, "Well, you know, what's the warranty?" "Well, my warranty comes da-da-da-da-da." I'm telling you, we had just hundreds, if not thousands, of people that came to the...
Did you get paid good?
No. All right.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And, of course, join us online at philhendryshow.com with a live, with a backstage pass. Watch live streaming video of our show. That's right. The Phil Hendry Show live streaming video each and every night from 10... P on the West Coast to 1A. And of course, you can watch our video archives on demand on your iPhone or your iPad, as well as your desktop, your Droid, and all that. Until tonight at 10, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.